Good morning. Welcome to the West End Church of Christ this morning. I'm glad you're here. Glad we have some visitors. We have a good crowd this morning, and that's encouraging, and I hope the things that I can say this morning will reciprocate in kind. Let me say that Curtis's meeting at Bear Wallow is not next week. It is next year. And I don't know where the confusion was, but mark your calendars for next year. And be more to come as we get into that. What I want to look at from the Word of God this morning is going to be in Matthew chapter 16. So you can be turning there. Matthew chapter 16. One of the I think it's a subject we're going to talk about this morning that's not talked about much, and that's not because it's not necessarily popular, but like much of the Word of God that's not talked about much, it's because of the demands that it makes on us. The Bible and Jesus Christ make demands on us that are very challenging. And the Bible tells us in so many words to count the cost, whether we're the kind of man or woman that can do what the Word of God says. And if you're not going to be the kind of man or woman that can do it, then don't start. It's called counting the cost. But if you're going to be the man or woman that wants eternal life and wants to be with God and His people forever, then it's incumbent upon you to do what He says. And so with that, we're going to have a couple questions before we get to that. And the first one is, do you consider yourself a faithful Christian? I hope you do. I know many here are. Some aren't faithful Christians that are here this morning. They've not become a Christian. Maybe you're considering becoming a Christian. And you're contemplating that, and it's in the forefront of your mind. And that's good. And that's a decision we pray that you'll make in the affirmative, that you will become a child of God so that you can have everlasting life in the presence of God for eternity. But our text this morning, in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24, beginning says that Jesus said to His disciples, "If anyone desires to come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for My sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" I think that's one of the hardest statements that Jesus Christ makes. If you desire to come after Me, deny yourself and take up your cross. You know how we might say that in modern day language? If you want to please Jesus Christ, you need to deny yourself, and you need to sit down in the electric chair. Maybe we understand that a little better. You know, when you said this to a person in the first century, that's saying you are going to die. Now, what about that? Here's three attractions in this text we want to look at. The first one is obviously self-denial. That's what we're going to talk about this morning, is denying yourself. The second one is the cross, which is emblematic of death. In fact, it's emblematic of the kind of death that's cruel and if you want to call it inhumane, whatever you want to call it, it's a gruesome way to have to die. And the third one then would be, in this text, is complete surrender. Complete surrender. These are the things that Jesus said a person needs to be committed to in view of coming to Him. Not after you've decided to come unto Him. Not after you think you're going to have the blessings that He offers, and then you'll give Him some of that. You know, like one of the songs we sing, the first verse says, "None of self, or all of self and none of thee." And then "some of self and some of thee." And then finally, "all of self and none of thee." Well, I do realize that self-denial is something that you learn, but it's something you need to be willing to do in advance of becoming a Christian, not consider it as an option when you become a child of God. So then I have to ask myself and ask you, just what kind of follower are you? Jesus said, if anyone desires to come after me or follow me, let him deny himself. Could you say with honesty that you're doing that? I'll tell you, the honest answer depends on to what extent you deny yourself. I guess we could all say at some extent we may deny ourselves. But do we deny ourselves to the extent that Jesus accepts us? That he appreciates us? That we have stepped forward and made the kind of commitment that he demands? That's a demand he makes in this verse. It's not an option. It is a contingency to follow Jesus. I'll tell you, this is one of the spiritual barometers you can check in your life. You know, I've had a lot of people through the years say, you know, I don't know if I'm serving God right. I don't know if I'm saved. They just have some doubts in their mind. And how can we dispel them? Because I teach that you should not have any doubt in your mind about your condition with God and about the destination of your soul. Well, this is one and a critical barometer that you can check that with. You can ask yourself, am I denying myself to serve Christ? Have I or will I? Am I willing to in circumstances when they arise? I'll tell you, this is what we call core Christianity. This is things Jesus said to his disciples before they become Christians. This was in Jesus' physical ministry, where he was alive and with his people. This is not when his disciples would go in the world and preach the gospel and to every creature. This is what Jesus said you need to be thinking about in preparation to do that. This is what you need to be thinking about if you want to come after me. You know, everybody says, I want to come after Jesus because they want to be where he's at. But does everybody want to come after Jesus, and are they willing to go through what he went through to get there? That's what Jesus is saying. You've got to be willing to go through what I went through if you want to be with me. If you're going to come after me, you're going to follow in my steps. New Testament, another passage we'll look at says that. This is the bedrock of Christianity. This is really the bedrock. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. I'll tell you, it's echoed again, as it occurred to me, in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21 beginning. When Peter says, let's see if I'm in the right passage here. I think I'm talking about 2 Peter 2. And I'm wrong in both cases. But nevertheless, it's not 1 Peter 2 and verse 21 through 25 because it's not there. So we'll move on. You're either denying yourself like Jesus or not. The passage is the passage where Jesus talked about, or where the Bible talks about Jesus, you know, not thinking himself equal with God, but, you know, going to the death, even a death on the cross. The fact is, this isn't a gray area. This isn't almost or maybe, or I'm not sure. This is, yes, I'm denying myself like Christ, or no, I'm not. And you know, Jesus didn't deny himself in the sense that some religious sects do today. You know, some religious bodies today, they'll deprive themselves of certain luxuries or modernisms or different things like that, and they think that that's some kind of testimony to their denying self. That's not what that is at all. That's will worship is what that is. The Bible calls it that in Colossians. But when we're talking about denying selves, we're not just talking about denying ourselves of sinful pleasure, although I think part of it's couched in part of that. But I'll tell you, this is how you can measure your commitment to Christ. You know, if you want to put yourself on a scale of 1 to 10 as a servant of the Lord, then you just put yourself on a scale of 1 to 10 of what I'm willing to deny myself of. What I've gave up and what I'll walk away from and what was important to me but's not important to me. Not necessarily sinful things. We'll see that. How many things can you list that you've denied yourself of to follow Christ? Not including sinful things. How many things have you just said, I'm not going to do that. I don't have time to do that. It's not worth the exercise of my time to do that. How many things have you done? We'll come back to that question a little bit later. But the problem is some Christians never outgrow this I or this me syndrome that Jesus talked about in Luke chapter 12. You remember when the man's harvest was so great that his barns couldn't hold, it couldn't hold the crop. So in Luke chapter 12 and verse 18 beginning, Jesus said the man said, I'll pull down my barns. I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will store my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and marry. But the Lord said, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose things will those be which you have provided? Not that a bumper crop is sinful. Not that a prosperity is sinful. It was what this man's attitude was about it and his desire to please just himself with no outlook or no observation of anyone else. Also, in this matter of denying yourself, Luke says it, Luke's record of it, just a little bit different. Said, whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Verse 33, so likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Wow, Jesus puts it in even stronger terms than Luke does than the Matthew account. Same import. It's not an option if you want to be a disciple of Jesus. A disciple is a learner. If you want to be a learner of Jesus, this is what you're going to learn. And when you learn something from Jesus, what are you supposed to do with it? You're supposed to do it. Or if you learn something from Jesus that you shouldn't do, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to stop doing it. It's not, Jesus clearly makes it not an option. It's a choice. It's the only one a clear-minded person can make if they want to go to heaven. If they want to be a follower of Christ, they've got to say to themselves, it's not about me. It's not about my barns. It's about Jesus. And we'll see also that it's about others. You don't dovetail Christianity into your life, but your life into Christianity. Some people apply just as much Christianity in their life as is palatable. What works good for them? What doesn't conflict with some of the other parameters or spaces in their life? That's not the way Jesus says it is. Jesus said you don't just sprinkle a little Christianity on your life. You immerse your life in the Christianity. The Bible talks about self-examination. Which way would you say your life is characterized? Is it characterized by one that's dovetailed the Christianity into their life or one whose life is into the Christianity? You get to make that choice. I'll tell you something, that denying yourself is counterintuitive. Now, who would disagree with that? It's never been, the way I was raised and some things like, it was never ingrained in me that you deny yourself for religious principles, much less anybody else, except maybe your family. It's counterintuitive. It epitomizes Jesus Christ. Do you want to be like him? He's the one that went to the cross. He's the one that did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. He's the one that done everything he done, every miracle he performed, every sermon he preached, every lesson he taught, every parable he spoke was for who? I tell you, it was for somebody else. Why was that? Because he epitomized self-denial. What a high bar for us to measure ourselves by. And you know, the fact of the matter is, my actions, I'm talking about Mark Pape, My actions and my priorities reveal the limit to which I'll deny myself. Those of you that know me the most intimately, you know whether I do this or not. Those of you that I know the most intimately, I know whether you do this or not, because your actions and your priorities reveal the limit to which you will sacrifice or deny yourself. The deny self is measured by the take up. You think about that. When Jesus said, you have to deny yourself and take up the cross, it's an either or deal. It's not a gray line in there somewhere that you can kind of straddle the deny me and take up the cross deal. It's one or the other. You think about a person in the first century. You think about Jesus in the first century when he was compelled to bear a cross. And any other person that was executed in that fashion at that period. It's one or the other. You know, when you're carrying your cross to the place where you're going to die, it's not about you anymore. It's about what somebody's telling you to do. When you said, I want to become a Christian, and you obeyed the gospel and you were baptized into Christ, that, whether you remember it or not, you know it or not, or whether you even were taught it or not, that's when you should have said, none of self and all of thee, like we sing in the song. It's measured by your priorities. Luke's account really brings this into clear focus in a different way. He said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. Daily, and follow me. We'll say more about that here in just a moment. You know, the thing about it is self-denial is not self-destruction. That's what people think it is. Self-denial is not self-destruction. Self-denial is self-development. Self-denial is developing ourselves to be like Christ. Why would Jesus make this demand? It's a prerequisite to discipleship. If it was self-destructive, would the Lord ask us to do it? Why no? It's not, as some might think, that it's a suicide mission. You know, in an airplane where they taught them to take the Japanese to take off in World War II, but they never taught them how to land. They didn't come back. That's not what denying yourself is. It's a prerequisite to discipleship. It's what prepares a person. It's like boot camp for the United States Army and the grueling test and performance evaluations they go through to see if they're going to be able to survive out there when they're in the heat of the battle. We're not going to survive in the heat of the battle in the army of the Lord as a soldier for Christ if we don't learn in boot camp that we need to deny ourselves and serve and make our will His will. That's what Jesus prayed in the garden 3 times before He went to the cross for not sinning. Your will be done. You know, the fact is, Jesus said it, I didn't. That a follower of Christ is not fit for Jesus' use unless they fitted their attitude for Him. It's, you know, we sing the song sometimes, I surrender all. Well, do we really sing the truth when we sing that? It's a surrender. It's a complete surrender. And then as you build back on that, it's a complete divesting of all we want or all we desire except to serve God. And then we build on that layer by layer, those things the Lord will accept. And it's only by relinquishing our will for His that we'll do. There's not room for both. Jesus said it. A man can't serve 2 masters. He either loves one or he hates the other. Loves the other and hates the one. Context there, he was talking about money, but it's a truism no matter what we talk about. You can't have 2 masters. Yourself is either your master, or you've denied self and Jesus is your master. That's the evaluation you need to put on the frontlets of your eyes. The text, I, is the first thing to get rid of. That's the first thing. You know, Jesus doesn't talk about baptism here, which is required. and he will talk about later in his ministry. He doesn't talk about that then. Jesus doesn't talk about repentance yet, like he did in Luke 9. Although, like he has talked about it. Jesus doesn't talk about the details of becoming a Christian like his apostles will do once he's ascended back to heaven in Acts 1. I'll tell you what, he's laying the groundwork here. You don't need to worry about getting to faith and repentance or baptism if you're not willing to deny yourself. You can't have it both ways. So, again, we ask ourselves, where am I at in this? You know, the enemies of Christ are within. Oh, we can talk about there's been regimes that still punish Christianity. The Japan government's, it's still illegal to be Christians in there or Vietnam or some of those places. Unless you're part of a state church that they monitor. Oh, but Christianity's enemies are within. You know where they're at? They're me. And they're you. And you know why that is? Because I or you, we are not willing to deny ourselves the extent we should. It's a masterful challenge. As Jesus' life was characterized by this, not my will, but thy will be done. And guess where he ended up? He wound up on the right hand of the Father. What's the Lord prepared for us who adopt the same mantra? Who live by the same law? Who live by the same principle? Not my will, Lord. Thy will be done. We can say that in prayer after prayer after prayer, and we can get up and go do our will. And we all have. It's not an occasional act. It is the basis of Christian existence. In Luke 22, that passage, or 9 rather, in verse 23, then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. I mean, what else, what do you think of daily that you deny yourself of? Well, just let me ask you this. I mean, this is a question to me. We need to ask ourselves this. What do I do on a daily basis for the Lord, period? I mean for Him. I don't mean prayer. That's for me. I mean, what do I do for the Lord on a daily basis? I mean, is that challenging or what? I didn't make it. The Lord did. He said, it's not just the things you do. It's the things you deny yourself of. Maybe it's the things you don't do. The things you don't become involved in. That's a measuring stick. You know, in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, the Bible says, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Holiness cannot be pursued without self-denial. Holiness, self-interest, and holiness are incompatible. They're opposite poles of the magnet or whatever. They oppose, they resist each other. But holiness, without which no one will see God, is, it's going to take self-denial, because you have to deny that which interferes with holiness. You have to deny that which interferes with godliness. Jesus said it like this in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. He'd already enumerated some things they'd done. We cast out demons in your name. We've done many wonderful works in your name. But I'll tell you, according to Jesus in this statement, that wasn't enough. They had more to do. Maybe it was because they hadn't denied themselves to the extent that the Lord requires. In Isaiah 55, the Old Testament says, let the wicked forsake his way. Deny it. And the righteous man his thoughts. Unrighteous man his thoughts. What do you got to do? You got to clean up your actions. You got to clean up your thinking and let him return to the Lord, and he'll have mercy on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, say the Lord. No, they're combative. They're conflicting. They're counter, it's counter energy for me to have my way, my thoughts, and think I'm serving the Lord. Well, deny ourselves of what? Deny ourselves of what? I'll tell you, self-denial is self-control. That's what it is. Self-denial is self-control. Another way to say it. Well, one thing we do know, it is sin and its pleasure. We talk about the progressive nature of sin in James chapter 1 and verse 14. We understand some things that we need to deny ourselves of. And you know, for people who like to think that sin isn't pleasureful, there, not all sin may be, but most of it is. It has some kind of allure. In James chapter 1 and verse 14, each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when his desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. It may be pleasureful, it may be good, it may be enjoyable, but you have to deny yourself of it if you want to come and follow Jesus. If you're involved in sin today, and you're a believer, and you think you're following Christ, as kind as I can tell you, you're lost. Not because I said so, not because I'm your judge, because the Word of God says that. Excess pleasure. In Luke chapter 8, in the parable of the soils, it says the ones that fell among the thorns are those who have heard, go out, and are choked with the cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring forth no fruit to maturity. Well, as I said, you get to know me well enough, or I know you well enough, we can find out whether we're denying ourselves. And it'll be part of it will be based on whether we're bringing forth any fruit. Whether we have anything to show for our life in Christ. It's not just one of poverty and despair and deprivation of the needs of life. That's not what we're talking about. What he's talking about here is seed that's been planted on the ground and it never grew up and it never produced anything. It heard the word, it received the word, didn't do anything with the word, just like the one talent man. You know, another thought is to ask ourselves is, what do we live for? What do you live for? In 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 6, it says that she that lives in pleasure is dead while she lives. Talking about widows there with less than desirable character. Or in 2 Timothy chapter 3, in the last part of verse 4, lover of pleasure more than lovers of themselves. There's a whole list of people there in that context it says for us to disassociate ourselves with. That's really what the point is. You disassociate yourself with these people because they've got the wrong priority. And you know, when you're around people with the wrong priorities, you know what happens? Their priorities become your priorities. And when their priorities lead you where you should be denying yourself, you're in deep water with swift current. Another thought that comes to mind in this is, you know, let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. You know, part of denying yourself, well, all of denying yourself, if you're going to imitate Jesus, what did Jesus do for himself? I mean, what did Jesus do for himself? Well, in the divine record, I really can't. I mean, you know, he fed himself and some of those things. But, you know, at the end of the day, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air has nests. But the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. You know why that is? Because he was denying himself and he was out there serving the interest of others. His God and others. I'll tell you, self-interest is antagonistic to Christianity. It flies in the face of everything Jesus said. It flies in the face of everything his inspired apostles taught and wrote. It's antagonistic to Christianity to be an individual consumed with self-interest. Not even self-interest. Self-interest is always at the expense of someone else. Mothers and fathers who are self-interested, it's at the expense of their children. Husbands and wives who are self-interested, it's at the expense of their spouse. Elders or preachers or anybody else who's self-interested is at the expense of the congregation. Self-serving means you deprive somebody else what the Lord demands that you owe them. I'll tell you, it's one of life's great challenges, isn't it? Is it easy? I'm not standing here before you saying it's easy. I'm saying it's tough. I'm saying it's hard. But I'm not saying it's impossible, because the Lord requires it. He makes no demands of us that we can't fulfill or that we can't keep. Whether it's easy or not, it's required. Whether you think or I think it's the best thing at the time, it is, because the God of heaven and earth says it is. Denying self is self-mastery. People want to think they're their own person and they're in control. But I'll tell you the definition, or the thing that exposes a person that can say they're in control of their self, is when they deny themselves. Self-indulgence is how our culture defines people. No. The culture of Christianity is defined by the extent to which we'll deny ourselves for God and for others. Here's what some people wrote about it that aren't even inspired. Shakespeare said, "Brave conquerors, if so you are, that war against your own affections and the huge army of the world's desires." Or how about John Sterling? He said, "The worst education which teaches self-denial is better than the best which teaches everything else and not that." What about that? You know, I can't believe that guy didn't have some connection with the Bible, though I don't know who he is or who he was. The fact of the matter is, we're going to stand before the great judge of all the earth. And here's what we need to have when we get there. We need to let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant, coming in the likeness of men, and being humbled, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Would you summarize your life as saying you have the kind of commitment that Jesus has here? The Bible tells us to walk in His steps. He's an example. He's the author and finisher of our faith. If we're going to believe in Him, we got to believe what He done is what we're supposed to do. We got to accept the challenge of being a Christian and living a life of self-sacrifice to the best of our ability. When the Lord looks at us, when the Lord judges us, He's going to judge us by His Son, and His Son's word. And the things we've looked at today are the things that Jesus has required. Are you ready for the judgment? Would you like to stand before the judgment seat of God today? And if you just had to answer to one thing today, and it was the subject we've had under consideration, that is whether I've denied myself in such a way that suits the Lord, would you be afraid to stand before Him today? I'll tell you, if you would, you can make that right today. If that means becoming a Christian, then you need to obey the gospel. And that means you need to believe that Christ is the Son of God, and you need to obey His commands, where He said, "He that believeth and is baptized should be saved." That involves repenting, of course. That involves in making this commitment by your confession that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's as good as saying, "I'm going to deny myself for Him." And then be baptized for the remission of your sins, so you can start out anew, walk in the newness of life, and live faithfully for Him the rest of your days. And you will not have one worry when you stand before Him in the judgment, because you've denied yourself and you've served Him and His Father and others. If you need to answer the invitation call this morning, then do that while together we